The Disney Villains League continues. It's Hades versus Ursula, Shan Yu versus the Queen of Hearts, and Shere Khan versus the Woozles. It's Disney Underground host Gene Manny leading his squad of baddies, Hades and Halal, against the Legend of the Loo and the creator of WDW Bathrooms. It's Gabrielle and her team, the Toilets of Terror. Will Gene reign supreme, or will Gabriella give him the royal flush? Strap in, Diz nerds, because it's about to go down right here on the We Like Theme Parks
podcast.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a hot one, Mark. Hot one.
Nah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic. Do We Like Theme Parks podcast?
Yo. Bring it back now.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other really fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond, co-host and Disney Villains League commissioner. I've kind of owned the role now. I've just owned it. You know what I'm saying? I'm
going to do it. You were so upset about it during the draft.
I know, but now I'm feeling it, right? It feels good. Today, I'm joined by my co-host. You just heard her, Disney bounder, theme park fashionista, and the Villains League semi-finalist, Miriam. That feels nice, right? From the Cheerio Fund, it's Miriam Kenley. Hey, what's happening?
Oh, not much. You know, just still riding high off of that victory a few weeks ago.
Right? Like, these two are just are hoping to be where you are. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Feels good. And we're also joined by comedian Diznerd and the 2019 Villains League champ, but defeated in this year's competition.
Okay.
All right. Mark Andrada. Hey, Mark, what's up?
I didn't see. I don't know why you had to say that last part. You were doing so great. You were doing so great with the whole beginning part. And then you were like, but he's a loser now.
You're not
but
a loser.
That was 2 years ago.
So going it was, to bed.
Yeah. No, stick around. Listen, somehow you almost got Smee to win his matchup based on stupidity, which was incredible.
Smee should have won. That's the only thing that I don't care about the big loss overall. What I care about is the fact that Smee was robbed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about Rob, but it was a close one.
I was really enjoying that shadows falling in love storyline.
Thank you.
That was thank you. I love a little romance in the Villains League. It felt nice to have some like a little ray of sunshine and all this dark and evil. So it was very cute.
Yeah, I guess Nigel and Dale also had that with Mother Gothel and Dr. Facilier.
Fair. Right? Yeah, we've seen it before. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, hey guys, all of our friends and our amazing guests are standing by. So let's just get on with the business. Buckle up, Diz nerds, because it's Villains League! Welcome, ghosts and ghouls, to the 2021 Disney Villains League. Here, dastardly demons and malicious meanies will join forces and engage in a battle royal of badness. 8 squads of evildoers have entered, but only one will reign supreme and rule the underworld, and it's happening right here in the Disney Villains League tonight. 2 salacious squads from the Disney Bloggers division, and they are going to clash, and the winner will move on to the conference finals, where they'll take on Miriam Kenley, while the others will ride off into the sunset as a loser. Kind of like Mr.
Oh, my God.
Because around here, it's sudden death, friends. You're out. You gonzo. Bye. First, she's the mind and bladder behind everybody's favorite theme park potty Instagram and the captain of her squad, the Toilets of Terror. She's the queen of the Disney latrines and the creator of WDW Bathrooms. It's our friend Gabriella. Welcome to Disney Villains League.
Thank you. I'm so excited. And if you think I'm not using the mind and bladder behind WDW Bathrooms for myself and for my own branding purposes, you've got another thing coming.
10%, 10%, 10%. You know.
Percent of the zero?
Yeah, give me a taste of that zero. Great, thanks. Gabrielle, thrilled that you're here. Are you excited to participate in the Villains League?
I am. I don't know. Let's count the pages and notes I have, and you can tell me how excited I am.
Oh, you're flipping pages.
I think I've got 2 pages.
Oh, okay. You're flipping the same one a couple times. Got it. All right, that's cool. Well, listen, Gabriella is going to go toe-to-toe with the super squad called Hades and Halal, who's captained by none other than the host of the Disney Underground podcast and now live cast on YouTube's FPE Network. He also happens to be Marty Adams' favorite fella. It's Gene Manny. Gene, what's up, buddy? It's Villain League time.
Not only am I Marty's favorite fella, he's my favorite fella too now, I think.
Wow.
We're best friends. We'll be BFFs.
You've really crossed that bridge. It's really nice.
You're making a terrible mistake. I'm warning you now.
Would it be the first time? You know what, though? I didn't want to see Mark lose last time, man. But you know what? I'm only glad Marty's going forward, so that way I can see him in the finals. No disrespect to Gabriella or Miriam, but let's face it, my squad's going to win, right? So I just want a piece of Marty in the finals, really.
I love it.
We'll see.
It begins, baby. It's starting to get evil round. Yeah. Well, not only do we have these superstars, we also have super Diz-nerdy judges here to call the shots. And first, she's the first name in healthy Disney snacking in a podcasting from the Bodies and Beignets podcast. It's our friend and snack lord. It's Sheena Barton. Sheena, what's up?
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I've been following along. I have my notes as well, so I am ready. I cannot wait to hear these battles.
Mark, Miriam, you hear this? Judges with notes? Hello. What's up? You guys got some notes?
I have a cold piece of pizza sitting next to me, so I'm looking forward to like sitting back, having a snack, and listening to this battle, you know?
Yeah. I've got a Mountain Dew. Together, we really have a meal going.
It's the We Like Theme Parks combo. I like it. And rounding out our esteemed panel of judges from the We Like Theme Parks podcast, it's Miriam and Mark. Thanks for jumping in, judges. All right, let's get to the rules. Each team is going to present a villain from each of the 5 evil categories. They are magical meanies, demons, and other dead stuff, monsters, beasts, and ill-tempered animals, really terrible human people, cruel cronies, and very evil pets. Now, each round, Gene and Gabriella will have an opportunity to tell us how their villain will overtake the other villain, and our panel of judges will tell us what actually happens and select the winner. And remember, the judge's ruling is final. Finito. No questioning, baby. That is what's up. So, for the 6 of us in attendance and the millions at home on pay-per-view,
let's get ready to rumble!
I mean, I'm pumped. Michael Buffer, really get me pumped. I'm ready to go. Okay. Disney villains. Let's begin. So, who should go first? Who wants to kick things off?
How about ladies first? Gabriella can go first, unless she wants to.
I could feel it. I was like, I know this is going to be a ladies first situation. No, why don't you go first?
Oh, okay. I mean, what's the first round battle? What are we doing?
Actually, that's a good point. What's
going to be magical meanies, demons, and other dead stuff. So we're talking about Ursula going up against Hades. Gene, you want to kick things off with Hades?
Oh. This is going to be a really fast first round. So, guys, Hades is a god. I mean, that's really where you could just end it there. He's a god, which means I did some research. I got some proof from reliable sources. I went to DisneyFandom.com and they quote, say he's a god and he is eternal. He does not age, nor can he die. So if he can't die, how can he lose, right? Ursula is really only powerful in the water. Hades can do whatever he wants wherever he is because he's a god. I can really end it there, but I can go further if you want.
No, keep going. You're doing great.
All right. Well, he's got telekinesis, so he can control objects.
Bam.
He can take the Triton and actually like let it go by itself. He doesn't even have to do anything. He's also a god. So I think he can really just kind of like do one of those things with his hands. Things happen.
Okay.
He's also into alchemy like Ursula. So one of Ursula's strong suits, he is also an alchemist as well. So he's not too shabby with potions. BuzzFeed ranks him as the number 2 most powerful villain of all time. Ursula is number 5.
Credible source, BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
That's how we vote for our presidents down here.
Yeah, yeah. In the popularity contest.
By CBR.com is Hades as the most powerful villain. Ursula's number 5 in that one as well.
Because she's consistent. That's
what's
why.
CBR?
5 across the board.
But Hades is 2 and 4. So, I mean, you could be consistent, but be consistently behind me. That's fine. Or behind Hades.
Gene, I do have a question.
I'm taking all questions.
It does seem like he was defeated by being thrown into the river of death. It really seemed like he didn't get out of there. So how powerful is a guy who can't get out of his own river that he created?
Yikes. His brother is Zeus. They had a little family squabble. We've all had problems with our brothers and sisters, right? I mean, they're not the first brother pair to actually have a fight. So, you know, you argue with your brother, your sister, whatever it is, but you bury the hatchet and then you hug it out.
My sister's never thrown me into a river of death, so yeah. I don't
know. Well, you guys aren't gods either, be fair. You guys aren't gods either, you're mortals, so that's a little bit there too. Fair point. These guys are eternal. They're going to be here forever. They might as well patch it up because they're going to be here forever. Mm. And that's the other thing too, is he can't die. Mm. He can't die. Okay, well, so what's Ursula going to do?
It looks like he was trapped, though. My question is about the trapping.
Okay, well, can Ursula do that? It was gods that had to do that. Ursula is not that powerful.
Well, I'd like to.
Debatable.
Like to
debatable.
I just want to say that I have absolutely been thrown into a river of death, and I'm an only child. So.
It still stinks.
What's the takeaway there? No clue.
Well, I got a takeaway. Mark survived. You can tell me a god like Hades couldn't survive and get out? If Mark got out as a mortal, Hades can handle it.
Hey, man, you don't know me.
You know what? Fair point.
Hey, I guess the question I have, Gene, is this. You've basically rattled off all of his talents and abilities, but I don't know what he's going to do to Ursula. So what is he actually going to do to defeat her?
Oh, he can do anything. Like I said, he's
paint us a picture, buddy.
He can withstand freezing. He can withstand lava.
Yeah, these are abilities.
So how about this?
What does he do? Yeah.
Poseidon's his guy, right? Poseidon has more control over what goes on in the ocean than Ursula. That's his brother. His brother is the god of oceans, the god of water. Fair. Ursula is just like an evil being down there.
So you're saying he's going to call in a favor is what he's going to do. He knows a guy.
Well, yeah, everybody knows a guy. And he's one of these guys that knows a guy. He also has telekinesis. I could see him just saying, hey, let's grab King Triton's Triton and fling it across the ocean. She can't come back from that.
All right, Gabriella, he's throwing a lot of shade. He's painted a bit of a picture.
Can I say one more thing before we go further?
Yeah. Okay.
Please.
Ursula is a third round draft choice in the first place. Let's start there.
Yikes.
She's a third round draft choice. Ooh. Anyway, so.
Wow.
I will note that Ursula was not drafted in the inaugural Disney Villains League. I will note this.
Wow. That's to remind the fans, she was my first round draft pick because I had faith.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes people can see things in others that others can't. True. But no, you bring up some very, very valid points, Gene. But I think, did you guys watch on Disney Plus the Olaf Presents shorts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them. Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, they were really good. So if you watch the one on Little Mermaid, our dear friend Olaf really expounds upon one of Ursula's biggest gifts, which is that she can transform people into, I believe he called them, a deformed shrimp.
Yeah.
So really, at the end of the day, she doesn't have to kill Hades. She can just transfigure him into one of these little, like, you know, scrunchy small people mm-hmm. that she keeps in her garden. So is the object of the game death or just defeat? It is a clarification from the commissioners requested.
Well, I think if you're able to turn him into a shrimpy nothing and he can no longer participate in said battle, then victory is yours.
Okay.
However, if I recall in that film, Little Mermaid, don't you have to sign a deal and kind of sell your soul kind of thing, sign a contract away to turn into said shrimp? So that kind of creates a bit of an issue.
You're right. It does appear that way. I thought about that today. But I think that is part of Ursula's general ruse, where she is presenting herself as the helper of poor, unfortunate souls. So she's actually actively recruiting people to come to her and sign these contracts where at the end, they are very likely to end up as these deformed shrimp. But I think for our purpose, all we need to know is that she is capable of having this power. I don't think it's the contract being in place that makes this possible. I think it's Ursula's powers in general.
It's interesting. She's a power broker and so is Hades. Like he's a deal maker too. So
that's true.
They actually have a lot
of common.
Maybe they date. Yeah. You know, they're both smooth talkers, smooth operators here.
I want to say this too. I think she might be onto something with the contract just being kind of like just a reason to turn them into shrimp. But here's the thing. Ursula could turn me into a shrimp. She could probably turn any one of us into a shrimp, right? Mm-hmm. Hades is a god. He's a god. There's certain things that there's certain powers that they have that you can't touch them. And this is one of them. I'm going to be honest. As I've done my research, this is the most powerful villain in the whole league because he can't, again, I'll read, and this is a quote from DisneyFandom.com.
Yeah.
Immortality is his main power. He is a god. He is eternal. He does not age. He does not die. So that means no matter how many things you hit him with, he's just going to keep coming back and keep coming back.
Interesting.
Ursula, we don't know that she's eternal. I don't know that she is.
Hey,
we know she's not because she dies at the end of Little Mermaid, but that doesn't that mean that like she'll have more drive than Hades? Like Hades, if he knows that nothing's really going to happen to him, wouldn't he just like at one point like
which means
up?
We can play the which means we can play the long game. It might take me 30 years to end this match, but I'm going to be the one that ends the match.
I feel like Hades.
In fact, I might even toy with him. He does have an attitude problem. That's what makes him such a good villain.
I think they both have attitude problems.
A hothead, one might say.
Hey, very hothead. That's fair.
Hothead.
Mark, let me ask you something. As the 2019 Villains League champion,
okay, yeah.
Who was your magical meanie? Because you won the championship. And I don't believe Hades was on your squad, was he?
No.
So there you go. So maybe not the very best, not even a champ.
He might have won his round every time, though. That doesn't mean he could have still won every round that he was in.
It's possible.
Do you remember who I chose?
You had Jafar.
Yeah, I had Jafar.
Again, you had Jafar. You
were two for two. Right, I had Jafar. I think Jafar beat Hades because wasn't Hades Marty Adams' choice?
Yeah, that's right. Jafar did beat Hades.
Well, wait. You can't blame Hades losing.
This is a whole different game. This is no reflection on what is currently happening.
I'm just making some statements here. So let's zoom back over to Gabriella. Gabriella, paint the picture now for me. You've mentioned some of the cool things that Ursula can do. How is Ursula going to win this match? What is she going to do to get in there and actually end Hades?
So I think first off, Ursula and Hades are two villains who just exude sass and attitude.
Yeah.
So she's not going to be afraid of Hades and his like flames and whatever. That's just another temper tantrum to her. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I think like though Ursula has a wealth of powers ranging from, you know, being able to control her size, being able to steal people's voices, you know, electrokinesis is actually floated in there a little bit because, you know, she controls storms and stuff. She has 8 legs too, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I think the
it's
main-
actually six.
She's got
6 legs, 2 arms.
Oh, and 2 arms. Oh, okay. So, well, look, Gene can count. Gabriella can't. Like,
ouch.
Gabriella, that's actually kind of mean.
No, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to. Gosh, now you might got me feeling bad. Anyway, so Ursula, I think her main goal is to turn Hades into one of her little shrimp people, but I think she has a lot of things to do along the way. Namely, first, canon would suggest that she can take Hades' voice.
Mm-hmm.
And Hades loves nothing if not to hear himself talk. So I think that might really, you know, put him down in the dumps if he couldn't speak.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, take away his voice. But Hades has to give away his voice. He can't have it taken away.
But again, does he? Going back to the contract thing, is that just a ruse for her?
Mm.
I'll say this. I think it is. Because if you remember when she had to do that, like that thing, you saw the voice go up and into the shell. So I think that's one thing that she needs to do that little spell on. And let's face it, Hades is one of the best manipulators in the business. He's not going to fall for that. If anything, he's going to make her fall for stuff.
So,
and again,
like what?
Like everything. I don't know.
Okay.
But again, he can't be stopped. He can't be killed. He can withstand everything. He's a god. I don't think I to be honest with you, I thought I could have stopped after he's a god and can't be destroyed. That to me is like, that's the winning combination right there. But he can do all these other things. He's also an alchemist, so he can also have potions.
Yeah, okay. We heard all this stuff already. So, Gene, you have to remember, this is Disney Villains League. Just because your guy is actually better doesn't mean you're going to win, all right? You know what I'm saying?
I got to tell you, you got to talk your way through it. These are facts, man.
You realize that Smee almost beat Facilier Shadow last week. Smee. You know what I'm saying? So you got to talk it.
The fact that he lost is tells you that anything can happen because Smee is a guaranteed win. Come on.
I guess the question that I have before we get into voting here is, what is Ursula? Is she a sorcerer? Is she a sea witch? So is it all about contracts?
She is specifically referred to as a sea witch.
Okay. Well, I can elaborate a little bit here. Ursula's dad is Poseidon. Oh! And I do believe Gene maybe mentioned Poseidon being Hades' guy.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. So Ursula's dad is Poseidon and her mom is also a sea witch. So I think she may be part god.
Well, but wait, let's.
Wow.
So she's a demigod.
Mm-hmm.
A god is a full god.
Half a god.
That's a demigod. So like, if you're really weighing the amount of godness.
How was Hades defeated though? Was that a demigod who threw him into the river of death?
Ooh, yeah, but wow. He doesn't die. He comes right back.
Does he?
Hercules can die. He's a demigod, which means Ursula can die.
Okay.
And let's face it, I don't think Poseidon was a pretty good guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's happy with Ursula. I think Ursula's like the black sheep of the family, to be honest
with
you.
Fair. That's fair.
Poseidon was a pretty good guy? What about all the shipwrecks and stuff? I think he's just doing that on a whim.
No. I sometimes, listen. In real life, bad things happen. You have to do stuff to even out, it's a yin and a yang. I think that he's actually a good guy. Ursula's the black sheep. And I think he would say, you know what, to Hades. I think he'd say, you know what, Hades, she's kind of got it coming to her. She's been a bad kid. She's going to have to learn a lesson. This is so be it. This is what it is. And here's the best part too. Mm-hmm. When he takes her out, she'll be in Hades. So she'll still be with family because she'll be in Hades with Hades.
Hmm. Interesting point about being the black sheep.
So then this is when they fall in love.
Perhaps. But that's weird because that's her uncle. So
yeah, now that we bring that into play.
Listen, no judgment. No, this is no judgment zone. Whatever.
Like tragedies were a thing, you know.
Hey, Sheena, we haven't heard much out of you. I feel like you've been sorting through your notes.
I am. I feel like these were the two that I am just so conflicted with. You both have such compelling arguments, and really, I was leaning one way, then I was leaning another way. Honestly. Yeah. I don't know.
The magic of the Villains League. Right, yeah. Okay.
Before we choose, is this the best matchup in all of Villain League? Because I think it might be.
I feel like it's a pretty good one.
I haven't been listening to the other episodes, so I was worried it would be like cheating. But I think like there can't be a matchup that's better than this one, right?
Yeah. I think the real winner here is the audience who gets to listen.
True. Well, with that, let's get into the voting. And why don't we kick things off with our resident genius, that's Miriam Kenley. Miriam, I feel like you're helping Gabrielle out. Are you boxing out of Ursula's corner? I know you're an Ursula fan, but would Ursula actually beat Hades in a street fight? Who are you going with?
100%. It's Ursula all day, every day for me.
Wow.
Okay.
Sorry, not sorry, actually.
I don't think you are.
She's such a smooth talker. I think she could get Hades to sign a contract. I just do. I think she would appeal to his vanity and whatever stupid thing that he wanted. She would promise it all. She would turn him into a little sea creature, throw him in the river of death. And that's it. End of story.
Wow. Point for Ursula and the Toilets of Terror. Oof. Okay. Let's keep going here. Let's go over to Mark. This is a tough call. Which way are you rolling?
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough call. Ultimately, my vote goes down to something that neither trainer, you want to call them trainers?
Yeah.
Coaches talked about, and that's the fact that Hades has flames on his head. Mm-hmm. He's got a fire head, and Ursula's surrounded by water. Water beats fire. I vote for Ursula.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I gotta be honest, I think if I lose, this whole thing's rigged.
Oh, wow. That's a point. Wait, for
you gotta ask Sheena.
Well, I will, but first I'm gonna award the round because the round is over, and the round goes to the little clappy stuff again. Gabriella takes round one. Ursula defeats Hades. I'm surprised. Hades, Ursula got like killed by a boat. Just saying.
Freak accident.
Sheena, which way would you have rolled with your vote? Would it have been a clean sweep or not?
You know, no, I was actually going to vote for Hades. I don't know. He just had me swayed. You know, he is a god. Mm-hmm. He is very persuasive. And I just feel like he would have taken it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I would have voted for Hades too. So,
I'm glad you brought some smarts to the panel, judges panel.
Not me. My vote is worth nothing. It's Sheena. You should be thanking her.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying thank you for bringing someone that can look in-depthly at this matchup and answer it the right way because Mark and Miriam.
You got a couple wild cards.
I don't know. I think my logic is... My logic is sound here. Water beats fire. I don't know.
Well, power of persuasion.
Okay, so we're moving on to the next round. This is monsters, beasts, and ill-tempered animals. And this time we're going to swing over to Gabriella first, who's got the Woozles. This is probably my favorite pick in all of Villains League, who's going to be going head-to-head against Shere Khan. So, Gabriella, tell us a little bit about the Woozles, and what's the Woozles going to do to Shere Khan?
So, the Woozles bamboozle. I mean, that's the whole argument. Yeah. I mean, they have a song that just really, you know, the lyrics are, they're here, or they're far, they're near, they're gone, they're here. They're very, very sly. They, before your eyes, you'll see them multiply. They tie themselves in horrible knots. I mean, that is terrifying. So basically, yeah, the Woozles are the creatures of mind games. So they would just really, with minimal effort on their part, I feel, just approach Shere Khan and give him such atrocious visions that he leaves the ring. He's not even competing because he's so afraid of the Woozles. I mean, if Winnie the Pooh is scared of them, Tigger is scared of them. So, I mean, I think it stands to reason that Shere Khan would be afraid too.
Fair.
Oh my God, I love that you used two tigers in this.
Okay, so the strategy here is nightmare fuel, essentially.
I mean, I think that's their only strategy,
right?
TBH. So, I know when I've got strong players and when I don't. And the Woozles, they're kind of one note. But that's okay. I mean, I think they could still
win. It's a good note.
I mean, you know, Shere Khan's real afraid of fire. Who's to say?
Yeah.
They can't transform into flames.
I get it. Tom Cruise can do one thing, but boy, can he do it real good, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah, okay. The Woozles, so you've kind of mapped out how they're going to do it. Basically, they're going to get into Shere Khan's head and terrify him. The question I have is, do the Woozles exist in the real world? Do they only exist in the mind of the other person? So this feels very much like a Freddy Krueger, Jason kind of experience. Yeah. Have you seen Freddy Krueger versus Jason?
So, ooh, if we're going off
perfect
of
for a like, Disney podcast, by the way.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. If we're going off of the sort of standard Winnie the Pooh lore, so like the Winnie the Pooh books, the rides, most Winnie the Pooh materials, Heffalumps and Woozles are a figment of the imagination.
Yeah.
But there are a couple instances in the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh series where there are actual real live Woozles, mm-hmm, who interact with the characters in the Hundred Acre Wood.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it depends what our source material is. Maybe that's part of why they're so scary. You don't know if they're actually there or not. Mm-hmm. You can't trust your own instincts with that.
As the song goes, beware.
Be a very wary bear, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if this is a battle, other than a dream, is it actually going to affect that character in any way other than just being like too scared to continue?
I mean, we see Winnie the Pooh guard his honey. So, I mean, he's apparently concretely, wow, thanks, Mark. But Winnie the Pooh is apparently concretely afraid that someone, namely the Woozles, are going to come steal his honey. Because he's got that little rifle
That's something.
Protect.
All right, let's swing on over to Gene. Gene has Shere Khan. Gene, a little bit about Shere Khan and how is Shere Khan going to defeat these wacky Woozles?
I'll start with this, four words. He's a Bengal tiger. I mean, he's a Bengal tiger. Woozles, we don't even know if they really even exist. I mean, like, that's basically, that's a question mark. We don't really know that they exist.
Right.
Bengal tigers really exist. And not only is he a Bengal tiger, he is super powerful. He has superhuman strength. You remember the scene where he ripped the tree out of the ground with Baloo attached to it. And he just tossed it like it was nothing.
Yeah.
No regular Bengal tiger can do that.
Nope.
I mean, that's, you know, we were talking about Paul Bunyan before. Paul Bunyan can't even do that.
Fair.
You need a Bengal tiger with this kind of strength. It's like a super Bengal tiger. And he whipped that thing out with the bear attached, because bears are heavy too. I mean, let's face it, just lifting a bear is enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did both. Let's also face it too. He's got super high intelligence, super high stamina. So he's not going to get fooled by these so-called make-believe hallucinations. Like, it's just not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's also, I mean, let's call it is, because we've already established how important BuzzFeed is in these matches. He's the 15th most powerful villain, according to BuzzFeed. Guess where the Woozles were? They weren't.
Not on the list.
They're not even on the list. I asked BuzzFeed about Woozles. They said Woozles who? So there's nothing here stating that this should even be a matchup in the first place. I actually feel really bad for the Woozles, and I feel bad for Shere Khan because Shere Khan's getting ready for this big matchup. He's getting all worked up. He shows up, and he's like, I got to go against the Woozles. Like, they're not even here probably. It's to me, it's a no-brainer that he's going to show up and be pissed off because they're not even here to do battle. You know what I mean? They're dancing around in a teddy bear's head, who's not even really real because he might be Christopher Robin's hallucinogenic dream.
Okay, well, no, this is too far. This is too far.
You definitely got a rabbit hole.
These are fair points. These are fair points.
So I'll you already know the superhuman strength, super intelligence, superhuman speed. And I'll just end it with this. Mm-hmm. Like the way I started off, he's a Bengal tiger.
Okay, all right. Is that it? Any questions from the panel? Nothing? I guess we're ready.
No, I think, yeah, I think I've got it.
I'm going to go ahead and throw out some perspective before we get going. I think that, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a huge Winnie the Pooh guy, but this is Winnie the Pooh's hallucination, right? Do we see it in any other character or just Winnie the Pooh?
So just Winnie the Pooh, but they all talk about them.
So they're all aware of that.
So it's a pretty strong hallucination, I feel.
Okay.
But like I said, too, in the TV show, they do meet Woozles.
Right. But I will say that of all the characters and a lot of these villains, Shere Khan is the most cunning and strong-minded, and I'm not sure would be affected. How strong-minded is Winnie the Pooh? You know,
Commissioner, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't know that this is sanctioned behavior to try and sway.
No, right now I'm in my host role. This is a host role, and then commissioner is when you have a question about the league. So could you back up
this
there?
Is like,
could you back up, Judge? Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Thank
Chris
you.
Chris is like if Ryan Seacrest and Simon Cowell were just one person.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad someone's figured this out. All right, so let's get into voting. So Woozles are working on fear, Bengal tiger, strength, cunning. How's this going to shake down? Let's start with Mark. Mark, who do you like in this round?
I mean, I really like the Woozles. I went into this just like Woozles on my mind, you know? And the whole nightmare fuel really makes me laugh. And then the comparison to Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. I know this is a family podcast. We're not going to talk too much about Freddy Krueger because he's scary.
Yeah.
But you talk about Freddy Krueger, and then Chris, was it you or Gene? Who was it? Somebody said this is like Freddy versus Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're right. It is like Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
Who won that fight?
Jason.
I looked it up. Jason won that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Jason won that fight. Yep. And while I was all ready to vote for Woozles, I can't, like, a precedent's been set. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if this is Freddy versus Jason, Jason wins, then I feel like Jason wins. And if in this case, Jason is a Bengal tiger.
Okay, that's a point for Shere Khan, a point for Gene.
Yeah. Imagine I didn't stumble on Bengal tiger when I said it. imagine how good that would have sounded if I didn't stumble.
Totally. It was all the rest of it was great, though, Mark.
I feel good about my life.
Okay, let's cruise on over to Miriam. This is Woozles. This is Shere Khan. A battle of the mind, a battle of wills. Which way are you going?
You know, Woozles, that was an extremely compelling argument. And Gene, mm-hmm. you almost got me back on to Shere Khan's side. But the mind is really scary. You can really do damage that way. So I got to go Woozles.
Okay, it's a point for the Woozles. We're all tied up here. Incredibly, the Woozles got a point. I'm surprised. Sheena, it's all on you. Which way are you going here? You've got Shere Khan. You've got the Woozles. It's a battle. Who do you like?
Well, I did write down the quote, atrocious visions of fire and guns. And that's just like totally sticking out to me. The mm-hmm. mind, I agree, is super powerful. I'm giving it to the Woozles.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Hilarious.
Okay.
I mean, the funnier choice won, though, right?
The funnier choice won.
I kind of feel like the fix is in. I already know I'm not getting Miriam's vote. I know that. I'll get a Miriam vote when it's 2-0 and she's like, all right, let me just bust my bone.
No.
The point goes
to
I am a fair judge.
Wow, fair
I
listen, judge.
I thought Gabriella did what she could with the Woozles. I don't think the Woozles
I did too.
She I'm telling you right now, she's the most shocked person in this room right now.
I wouldn't have voted for the Woozles.
She even admitted it. She even said, listen, I know who my strong players are and I know which ones aren't. She admitted this was a loss. And I got to be honest, my heart's completely out of this thing now. I don't even know I can even go on.
Oh, no, don't be like that. No. Yeah.
Gene, like Celine Dion, your heart will go on.
It will.
I hope, man.
And on.
Also, you guys know I had surgery recently about my thyroid. I had my thyroid removed. No, I don't know if you guys
play all the cards.
I'm just putting it out there that I've been really down lately. So,
what you're saying is you're weak right now?
No, I'm just
kidding. I'm messing around.
I'm even more sad.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having said that, if anybody wants to throw me their Venmo account, let me know. we'll work something out.
All right, friends. Well, that's the first two rounds. It's 2-0 for Toilets of Terror. Somehow the Woozles squeak out a victory. Unbelievable. Setting a precedent. Even the most cunning and sound of mind will lose to a figment of Winnie the Pooh's imagination. The Woozles. Interesting moving forward. And Ursula beats Hades. 2-0. It's a big hill to climb, but if anyone can do it, it's Gene. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with more. We Like Theme Parks and the Disney Villains League after this. And we're back on the We Like Theme Parks podcast. It's the Disney Villains League, and we're getting into the third round. This is really terrible, human people. I will note that Gabriella and the Toilets of Terror are up 2-0 over Gene and Hades and Halal. And now we're into really terrible human people, and we're going to go back to Gene to lead things off. Gene has the Queen of Hearts going up against Shen Yu. Gene, give us the skinny on the Queen of Hearts. How is she going to defeat this pretty dark and crazy villain, Shen Yu?
I'll be honest, with these two is another good matchup because I feel like they're very, very compatible. I feel like they really should be married, right? We're talking about which villains would fall in love. I mean, they are exactly alike. They both have armies. Here's the thing, though. She's got armies of cards, which is why they aren't very strong. I mean, your card is not, they're paper thin, right? Mm-hmm. But she could just keep whipping up as many as she needs, right? Because there's just, to buy a deck of cards isn't really a lot of money, man. You could buy a deck of cards for $1. So she can just get her army rolling and just basically, it's a deck of cards every time. So it's even a bigger army than Shen Yu. She is tyrannical, deranged, sadistic. She has a penchant for beheadings. Mm-hmm. And she's psychotic. Shen Yu, I think, is just, that's the one thing I don't know if Shen Yu has. I think he's cruel, but I don't think he's psychotic. And when you're psychotic, that brings cruel to a whole nother level, right? Mm-hmm. She's a master manipulator. I don't know if Shen Yu is. I mean, like I said, I think he's just cruel and tough.
Yeah.
But she's a master manipulator, which means I think she can go in and actually maybe turn some of his soldiers around to then join her forces and actually help her defeat Shen Yu. She's cunning. She's got a crazy temper like Shen Yu. Also, too, for what it is worth, she is the best croquette player in all of Disney lore.
Fair.
So if it ever came down to it, that was something. Like, she's got that one hands down.
Right.
Screen Rant has, I can, you know, listen, well, before I get to Screen Rant, let me go. PBR has her listed as the 18th most powerful villain.
Whose list was that? BuzzFeed?
No, BuzzFeed has her as 23rd.
Okay.
PBR.com has her listed as 18th. Okay. I also have, and I'll say this because I know we're all probably looking at it like, well, he's not really that tough, but she's not really that tough, right? Because, you know, because she may be underrated, but I have 10 reasons of why the Queen of Hearts is considered the most underrated villain in all of Disney. And I could read those if you want. I have them right here.
Give us a couple of your favorites.
Please, yeah.
She's utterly ruthless. She's the most ruthless Disney villain there is. And this is by ScreenRant.com, and I believe they are a pretty credible source.
Sure.
They also say she has got an iconic outfit. I mean, come on. She's dressed to the nines. She is the queen. Shen Yu, like, runs around in, like, the desert and the mountains dirty and, like, I mean, come on. But,
yeah, you know. not
he looks like he smells terrible.
Yeah. I mean, who's 100%. Yeah, for sure.
Gross.
You know, what else we got? She makes a big impact in a small time. Like, she's only in that end of it, right? But as maniacal as she is, it really lends itself to, like, that one little bit that she's in at the end. You know full well, without having to see any more than a big, throughout a whole movie, how cruel and crazy she is. You could tell within 2 minutes. To bring it back to another thing, another matchup with the crab from Moana, where he didn't get a lot of time. And that was my thing where I couldn't tell him. He didn't seem as crazy, but we know she's crazy in just that little amount of time too. She manipulates the king, so she really runs the show. She's the queen, yet she still runs the show, which means she never knows. She might be able to manipulate Shan Yu.
Fair. I don't know, though. Didn't the king always kind of chirp in and say, you know, let's give her a trial? He would chirp into her ear and she would kind of back down to the king. So, and he was a very, very tiny person. So if she was willing to back down to that tiny king and she saw Shan Yu, I don't know.
I think that was all part of the mind games, though, Sheena. I think that's what she looked at as the manipulating. When you're manipulating, you're kind of letting them think they're in control, right? You kind of let them think they have a little bit of say, that they can go where they need to go. And she would play Shan Yu like a fiddle. He doesn't seem like he's the smartest Disney villain on the planet. He's just cruel and ruthless. And again, if it came down to a croquette match, then it's hands down she wins.
Booyah. I think a really interesting point about just how psychotic she is, how flippant she is about cutting people's heads off. I mean, that's pretty messed up. Like, Shan Yun is a little bit more, I don't want to say thoughtful, but, you know, he's a ruthless overlord in the sense that, you know, he's fighting war. Whereas, just drop of the hat, Queen of Hearts will just chop your head off for nothing, for like straight up nothing. So
He's goal driven. She's just like, I want to see people die.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't get more crazier than
that. Yeah. It's very Joffrey Baratheon if you're a Game of Thrones fan.
GOT, for sure.
Yeah, GOT. No clue what that is.
Yeah. Okay.
You got to get for the
three people who are listening to this podcast that might enjoy Game of Thrones. Okay. Let's swing on over to Gabriella. Shan Yu is going straight up against the Queen of Hearts. Shan Yu is a bad dude, no doubt. Tell us why he's such a bad dude and what he's going to do to the queen.
Well, so first off, I think Shan Yu has some, like, we don't know a lot about him technically, but what we see of him in the film is that he's supposedly a human, but he has, like, fangs and claws, and he seems to have, like, superhuman size. So I think there's maybe some unknowns there that could get a little scary, which brings me to my first point, which is that I don't know if the Queen of Hearts or her card minions could even reach his head to behead him, because he's a very big guy. He's very tall.
Yeah, but they're stackable, aren't they? They're very stackable.
Yep. Okay.
We've seen them. There's a precedent set that they're a stackable bunch.
Well, he is a survivalist. So I think he could potentially, if he were able to break free from the cars and he ran into the wilderness to hide from them, he could live for a very long time on his own. I mean, we saw him live in literally an avalanche for some amount of time. So that's pretty impressive. So I think he could, you know, really handle himself in any situation. About the croquet, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I didn't know we were bringing that into play here. But no, I think he is just a very, like, beastly person who I think, given the opportunity, would tear the cards and the Queen of Hearts limb from limb.
Yeah, he is a sword wielding bad guy. Does he have actual claws and fangs? I don't remember seeing that.
He does. Yeah. He does. His hands are like paws almost, and he's got like the little, like, you know, super long and incisor teeth.
So
scary.
Like, does this make him not a very mean human? People, is he DQ'd on technicality here?
We're pushing him into beast territory.
I'm gonna say if Shan Yu is DQ'd in this category, we got to go back and DQ the Woozles from being animals, because they are figments of your imagination. So I think we gotta, at least for me, proceed. I think we gotta proceed. We can't go disqualifying because of a category that the players had no control over.
As commissioner,
I want to be on record as saying I'm okay with the DQs.
Okay. You're comfy with them.
Fair. Okay. Fair.
I will, as the commissioner, I will say, proceed with the current matchups.
And we have no actual evidence that he is not anything more or less than a human. He just has some characteristics that are reminiscent in their animalistic ways.
So, Gabriella, what would Shan Yu do to the Queen of Hearts? How would this all shake down?
I mean, he's got that huge sword, so I think potentially he would cut her head off before she could even get to him.
Okay. All right. So, Gene, with that said, it's just a swing of a blade for Shan Yu. How does the Queen of Hearts to actually defeat? Paint this picture for us, Shan Yu.
All right. So here's, I'm going to set it up right now. Shan Yu, we have already established, is goal-oriented. He's goal-driven. That's why he does what he does, right? Mm-hmm. Queen of Hearts is not. She doesn't care about anybody. She doesn't even care about the king because she manipulated him. I think what happens is she sends out her card, says, let's have a sit-down. Vicious leaders always need to have a sit-down before they battle. They got to talk this thing out.
Very Game of Thrones.
Yep. She then says to him, listen, you're goal-driven. You want to rule. You want to rule. Come rule with me. We'll take the king out. You want to kill and rule? Kill the king. He's out. We're going to get rid of him. We sit together on the thrones and we rule together. And now this idiot falls for it because, again, Shan Yu, why he's tough, is dumb as a box of rocks. So he says, I like that idea. I get to murder somebody. I then take over a whole land. But when he's not looking, she's going to the head right off.
Now, does the queen do the dirty work herself, or is it her?
She doesn't need to.
She has an executioner or the cards.
She's got an executioner.
You're right.
He's going to sit on the throne. Boom, right? He's sitting down, so he's lower.
Yeah.
She gets the executioner standing right behind him, it's going to be like one swing with a bat, but it's not going to be a bat. It's going to be an axe. And that's it. She wins.
I don't know about bag of rocks as far as the mindset of Shan Yu.
He was a box of rocks.
He's fair. Bag, box, what have you. But
it's a little, I mean,
we're talking about a war general. I mean, who won a lot of wars and did some like the mass genocide. As terrible as it is, you have to know how to do it. And he somehow figured it out. You can't be a dum-dum. So I don't know that we
don't have evidence that the Queen of Hearts didn't do mass genocide.
This is fair too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also she seems capable to me. She has an army of cards.
This is fair.
And I know we're not supposed to bring in the live versions of these movies, but she did have that moat in that movie full of heads. That was a lot of people. That seemed like that was just the tip of the iceberg on the genocide for the Red Queen.
Wow. Yeah. Fair. These are fair points. All right, got to go to the judges here. Any questions or thoughts for Gabriella or Gene before we weigh in? Nothing. So. Wow, everyone's satisfied. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're including their armies. At least for me, I'm including their armies in this. Mm-hmm. Because they are leaders, right?
Right.
So I feel like it's only fair to include like Shan Yu's army and the Queen of Hearts' army.
I think
it's fair game in this, right?
Okay, why don't we kick things off with Sheena? This is a tough one because, especially if we're including those armies, Queen of Hearts, psychotic, Shan Yu, maniacal. Who do you got?
Genocidal.
Yeah, well, Shan Yu lost most of his army in that avalanche, and he does not have an unlimited army like the Queen of Hearts does. She has fierce fashion, and I really loved your reference, like the Constance Hathaway feel, just like bringing him in and then bam, whacking the head off. I'm going with the Queen of Hearts.
Bang, point for the Queen of Hearts. Wow. Okay, let's swing on over to Miriam. Shan Yu, bad dude. Queen of Hearts, bad dude. Like, these are bad dudes. What do you like?
Okay, when I was growing up, there was only a couple of villains I was truly afraid of, and the Queen of Hearts is at the top of that list. She scares the daylights out of me. I can barely even watch Alice in Wonderland because she freaks me out so much. So that alone, and because of Jean bringing in the fashion and the fact that I think Shan Yu would smell so bad, I don't even want to think about it. I'm going Queen of Hearts.
Another point for the Queen of Hearts. That'll take the round for Jeaner. Hades and Halal get their first point, their first round here in this Disney Villains League matchup. Yeah, Queen of Hearts. Gotta ask Mark, were you on the same page or were you a Shan Yu kind of fella?
No, I was leaning towards Queen of Hearts as well. For all the same reasons. Unlimited army, because we are including their armies. Yep. Unlimited army. Mm. Oof. Also, Queen, and then the other guy is like a general, right? Like he's an army. He's a leader of an army. Mm. Or there's the leader of the leader of the army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like who is Shan Yu winning these battles for? We don't even know.
Right.
He's not going to get to keep whatever lands he's conquering.
Right.
Exactly.
In general.
But the queen does.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Way to go, queen. All right. Moving on. We're going to jump over to Very Evil Pets. This is an interesting matchup, friends. This is Flotsam and Jetsam for the Toilets of Terror going up against Shenzi, Benzi, and Ed from Hades and Halal. Wow. I think who went first last time? It was Gene, right? So I think we swing back over to Gabriella. Gabriella, Flotsam and Jetsam, and Ursula on the same squad. A little multiplier action. That's fancy. Tell us about Flotsam and Jetsam, how they can be dangerous, and how they're going to take down these three hyenas.
Well, first off, I got to say, this is another fantastic matchup. I think Gene and I maybe the best episode out of all of this, just because of how strong our teams are.
I agree.
Anyway,
all right. I will also say you do have the benefit of not having Marty Adams on this episode at all.
Ouch.
Automatic 10 points.
Anyway, so Flotsam and Jetsam are Ursula's henchmen, as you know. They are moray eels. And I did some research today on moray eels and learned that they are in possession of something called a pharyngeal jaw, which means that they are creatures that they have, you know, eels are long, of course, and they have their mouths with teeth in them. And then in the back of their throat, they have a second set of teeth that they can push forward. Whoa. Into their mouth.
Double teeth.
To be an additional weapon. Uh-huh. To attack their prey. And so, and I think too, that is not a common thing.
No.
That's not something you would expect to see of someone, even if they were attacking you.
Yeah.
So I would say on that alone, the simple fear of seeing a second mouth come out of your opponent would really just rattle Shenzi Benzi.
So Flotsam and Jetsam are like xenomorphs from Alien. They got like double teeth.
Ugh. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, yeah. A lot of horror references today.
Yeah, so, sorry?
Said a lot of horror references today, and I give myself one of those.
I haven't known any of them. I've just been like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever you say, Bondo. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Scary stuff. Don't know it. Okay.
They also have powerful eyes. As we know, when they sort of get close to one another and their eyes overlap, their eyes form Ursula's crystal ball. So, like you were saying, Chris, that Ursula is also on my team. You know, I guess you can decide, Commissioner, if they sort of use their eyes to go back to Ursula's crystal ball and she saw they were in trouble, you know, would she come help them? I don't know. It's a possibility.
That's a good question. Cause you would think like, oh, my sidekicks need help, but Ursula is the kind of person who's like, meh, you know?
Okay, well, final point is that they, similar to Ka from Jungle Book, actually, they use themselves to tie up their prey and like squeeze them to death. Like that's how they try to kill Prince Eric. So I think they would, between the two of them, I think they could take these three hyenas just by virtue of, I think they would scare Ed away with their retractable jaws.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's out, you know, in the first couple moments because he's so afraid of that. And then I think between the two of them, they could pretty much strangle Shenzi and Benzi.
Wow. Okay. But you have to assume that they're going to get in the water, right?
Am I wrong? You guys correct me, that they jump out of the water at some point to attack. No, I think that's when Eric's underwater. I'm not going to say that.
I'm not sure.
So yeah, I guess, you know, maybe they're near a pond. Maybe they're in the water of the Pride Lands.
Yeah.
And so if it's shallow enough, I think they could be, you know, pop their heads out. And you know, take these guys out.
More questions for you, Gabriella. Do they have like any kind of electrical properties as eel? Like, can they zap them?
Yes.
Very cool.
So that's, I mean, a whole other thing. Like, and like if maybe just one touch from them and they're game over.
Yeah. Well, let's swing on over to Gene. Gene, you've got Shenzi, Benzi, and Ed. Three terrifying hyenas who are also quite funny, though. You know what I mean? Like, they're a good time.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about them and how they're going to take down these electrical eels that can do some other stuff, too.
Well, and you just hit the nail on the head. They have a good time while they're doing bad things, right?
Yeah.
So that just shows you they're laid back. They're not going to get frazzled. They're not going to get nervous. They also, there's three of them compared to the other two. Now, that right there, strength in numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, Flotsam and Jetsam are no good on land at all, right? They don't even have arms or legs, nothing. They're going to squiggle around, and they can't be on land at all. But you know what? Hyena can hold its breath for a few minutes and go down under the water and bite them, bring them back up, throw them on land, and just let them. And they can just sit there and watch them squiggle until they stop squiggling. Mm-hmm. You know, they are super aggressive, super strong jaws. We all know what hyenas can do.
Mm-hmm.
They actually took out a top of the line villain themselves. These are just sidekicks. They took out Scar.
Yeah, that's a big point.
If they can take out Scar, they can take out a couple of sidekicks that can't even fight on land. You know, I think this is a no-brainer. I'm not even really worried about that. I don't even need to really even say that much. They're the, you know, and you also, let's say this. Did you know Africa? That's a big continent, right? Let's all agree that's a huge continent.
Yeah.
And In all of Africa, that whole continent, of all the animals on Africa, mm-hmm. they are the most successful predator. Like, hands down, that's from Nat Geographic. I got that quote somewhere.
It's from BuzzFeed. Yeah.
I don't think that one was BuzzFeed. I think that was Nat Geo about hyenas. Hyenas are the most successful predator.
Yeah.
We're talking about tigers, lions,
sure.
all the crazy animals that are over there. And they're the most successful because they know how to do what? They know how to attack in a pack.
Yeah, they know how to
and
kill.
They fight in numbers, they strength in numbers. They're going to go in shallow water, get those two little eels, throw them on the land. And then at that point, they can just wait till they stop squiggling and enjoy lunch.
I have a question. Are you concerned that when they dip their head in the pond and grab the eel, that the eel's going to like zap them with their electricity?
Like, I'm concerned, but you know what?
How does that work? I don't watch National Geographic BuzzFeed. Does the eel have to bite you to do the electrical thing? Or if you're biting the eel, can the eel still shock you? Anybody know?
I think it's like a jellyfish where it's just like the you touching it is what
I believe. I believe she's right. Okay. I'll give her that. But it's not enough to kill you. Okay. They're big animals. That kills like a little fish that they're trying to, but that's not going to kill a hyena. Hyena's just going to grab it, bite down, deal with it for a couple of minutes. Not even a couple of minutes. What is it going to take to go, if it's shallow water?
Yeah.
30 seconds.
Okay.
They could deal with a little stinging for like 30 seconds. And then, listen, we've all been tased a couple of times each, right? I mean, who here hasn't been tased?
What?
Sheena, you've been tased?
We're all here to talk about our said tasings, our said previous tasings.
Yeah.
This is just that for them. They're going to get tased by these fish, throw them on land, let them squiggle around until they stop squiggling, and then they're going to snack up on them.
Dang.
Game over.
Oh gosh.
Dang. Wow. Okay.
Are you all right?
Me?
Yeah.
I was tased earlier today, so I'm a little wonky.
I guess the big question here is, will Ursula intervene? Being that she's a team member, do you have any concerns about that, Gene?
No, she's selfish. She's not sticking her neck out. And you know what? They'll eat her too, man.
Here's the thing. Oh, wow. If a boat, this is why I'm still surprised about this Hades thing. If a boat can kill Ursula, then a pack of hyenas could probably do
the
same.
I'm going to defend, this is old business because Ursula already won, mm-hmm. but it was not just the boat that killed mm-hmm. her. She was also struck by lightning.
Yeah.
So it was two,
you could see her bones.
Two freak accidents. It's yes. Very traumatizing. Mm-hmm. Two freak accidents mm-hmm. at once is what got her. It wasn't just a boat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. As a commissioner, I accept that.
So it's fine. This is old news.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Which is why I should have won, because his brother, Hades' brother, is Zeus with the lightning bolts, and he can
control
inanimate objects to stab her. And you know what? I get it. They don't like each other, but blood is thicker than water.
This is also very Game of Thrones, and I believe that. Yeah, point for Gino. Okay, so
not that it did me any good. But
do any of the judges have any questions for our contestants before we get into the judging?
Have any?
Nothing, guys. No, really?
No, no questions. Wow. No questions.
These two trainers are very succinct with their points. Yeah.
Okay.
They're making it easy.
Compliments around for both combatants today for how thorough your actions are and descriptions of these characters. This is exciting, guys. Ooh, this is like set point. It's a tennis thing. Set mat. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Why don't we kick things off? Let's go to Mark. This is some very evil pets, electrical fishy guys going up against hunt packers that kill. Who do you like?
I'll say, I don't sleep well, right? Like I have trouble sleeping, so I'm up a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had National Geographic on the TV, and I was like dozing in and out. Like I was like, I was barely awake, and then I would wake up and I'm like, oh, let's watch a little more of this documentary. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it was. And I saw a hyena eat a water snake or an eel.
Ooh.
They like fished it out. They pawed it out of a little pond or something, and they ate it. I don't know if it was an eel, but it looked like an eel. Maybe it's like a snake or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't stop thinking about that. So Shenzi, Benzi, and Ed.
So you actually watched this match in real time on TV?
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
Either that or I was having a weird dream. Listen, if somebody listening to this also saw it, if you could just like send me a message on Instagram or something and tell me what it was that I was watching, because I want to go back and watch it again. But that's what I saw.
Okay, that's 1 point for Gene and Hades and Halal. And let's swing on over to Sheena. Sheena, it's Flotsam, it's Jetsam, it's Shenzi, Benzi, and Ed. What a tussle. What a gang war. Is it on land? Is it by water? Is it a pond? What have you? What do you think is going to shake down in this battle?
Well, I was thinking about it, and all I keep picturing is the ending scene where Flotsam and Jetsam are like pulling Prince Eric down, right? And they let go because Sebastian pinches them and they get flopped in the face by Flounder. Like, wow. That was enough to make them let go, right? And then I'm thinking of these apex predators in Africa. I think there is just no competition. It's going to Shenzi, Benzi, and Ed.
Wow, another point for Shenzi, Benzi, and Ed, which means we are tied at two. Could this be the comeback, the greatest comeback in Disney villains history? We'll see. We got one round to go. Before we get there, though, Miriam, which way would have you rolled on this guy?
I would also have gone Shenzi, Benzi, and Ed.
Whoa.
And it was mostly at the very beginning, Gabriella said that the eels were going to scare Ed away. Ed is the craziest one. I don't think Ed has any fear. Yeah, so right. I think he would have actually dealt the death blow.
Wow. Okay.
That's where we're at.
I hope you never see a jaw jump out of someone's mouth.
Oh, I hope I never ever see that too. I didn't say it wouldn't scare me.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, friends, this sets up a finale round. This is round five. It's going to be Cruel Cronies. We will go back over to Gene. And the matchup is the Magic Mirror with Toilets of Terror going up against Nathaniel for Hades and Halal. Wow, what a showdown, what a throwdown. Gene, you've got Nathaniel. How is Nathaniel gonna defeat the Magic Mirror for the win?
Well, first of all, he's just the mirror, right? He's an inanimate object. There's really nothing to worry about with him. You know, he has no arms, no legs. He really can't do nothing. He's just stationary on a wall. So he can't really fight back. Nathaniel, granted, is a coward. He's kind of the most, you know, we talked a lot about Smee in Mark's matchup, mm-hmm. and he's very Smee-like. The only difference is he's not going against a tough opponent like Facilier Shadows. Mm-hmm. He's going against an inanimate object, a mirror on the wall that has no hands, no arms to defend itself, that can just be cracked with a hammer. Now, Nathaniel is a coward. He's going to do what it takes to survive, but he's also super manipulative, maybe one of the best manipulators in all the tournament. Because think about it. What did he do? He manipulated a royal family from Mondonia and got in their good graces to basically be the right hand to the prince. I mean, he was right there, right next to the prince the whole time. And then what does he even do? He even gets in with Facilier. He even goes, you know what? I'll play both sides. He goes and he manipulates Facilier. So, I mean, I think he's a smooth talker. It may come out of fear. But let's face it, we all sometimes do our best work out of fear, right? Sometimes, I felt fear the last two rounds and I was able to take that fear and to turn him into two wins. So I can completely understand that. I feel like I have a lot in common with Nathaniel, you know?
Wow.
He's a mirror, man. I'm not worried about a mirror. Nathaniel wouldn't be worried about a mirror. If anything, he'd be thinking, you know what? I can defeat this guy because if anything, I'll get in his good graces, if anything. And he's a mirror. All I got at that point is just, I don't even have to come up with him with a hammer. You know what I do? I walk over and I just lift him up a little bit so he falls off the hook, and then that's it.
Right. Okay.
But again, look what he did with that. How easy is it to get in with a royal family? And he was right there, right with the prince the whole time. He could have took that prince out whenever he wanted, really.
So there's a scenario, Gene, where Nathaniel infiltrates the castle of Maleficent, or sorry, the evil queen, pardon me, gets on side, and then just knocks this magic mirror off its wall.
Oh, and that's what I'm saying. He does a great job of befriending and letting them think that he'll do anything for them. He might even run a few errands for this mirror. Who knows? I mean, he might even run a few errands just to get in the good graces. Smart. But then when no one's looking, he's just going to go, boop, like, you know, right off the wall.
Yeah. Copy that.
It's an easy battle.
Okay. Well, watch out with that confidence. We've seen it bite you in the butt, buddy. Let's swing on over to Gabriella.
Certainly has.
Okay, we're talking about the Magic Mirror. Classic Cruel Crony. What does the Magic Mirror, what kind of magical properties does he, it is a he, I believe, or it have?
I think so.
And how is he or it going to defeat Nathaniel?
Yeah, so I think for this matchup, the mirror is going to harness the power of the awkwardness of the fact that on my team, we have a true Disney icon, like truly iconic. Yeah. And then on Gene's team, we have a, I don't even know, like on my notes, on Nathaniel Scurry. I just have because I don't know who he is.
Empty.
But that aside, I think the magic. Well, first off, about taking the magic mirror off the wall, we really think that this prized object that can tell truth and see things and is just this mystical singular object, we think that's going to be with like a command hook on the wall. Like, no, I think this thing is bolted to the wall. I don't think this thing is falling down easily. Like, you think the evil queen is just going to walk in one day and be like, oh no, my command strip fell. Like, then I lost half my power. So I don't think Nathaniel's going to be able to get this thing off the wall. The other thing is that this mirror's power is telling the truth. So I think the mirror could really drop some knowledge on Nathaniel, who I think, if again, I really don't know who this guy is, but if I remember correctly, is not like the most secure in himself. I think the mirror could really, I mean, just decimate him with some real talk about, you know, himself and his position and the royal family, and it could really just send him into a spiral.
Okay. So what powers does the magic mirror wield? If my view, and tell me if I'm wrong, they're all knowing and all seeing. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I have a little experience as a competitor going up against the magic mirror. And okay. I will note that if the magic mirror is on his own, nobody is stopping this person from walking into the castle. This mirror is going to know that this person's coming. They can see them coming, but they can't do anything about it. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but it's also not afraid. Like, the mirror was not afraid to tell the evil queen that she was not the hottest girl in the land, which would be frightening to me. Mm-hmm. The mirror was totally fine being like, girl, it ain't you, it's Snow White. So I think the mirror doesn't have the type of fear that you're describing.
Well, I'm not talking about fear. I'm just talking about just common sense would say, if nobody is helping the magic mirror because the evil queen is not on your team, then anybody could just walk into the castle and have at this magic mirror.
Yes, that is true. So the mirror is only as powerful as the person wielding the mirror.
So it's less about that and more about the mind game or the potentially tricking or befriending or...
Well, and like, you know, Nathaniel could end up being his own ruin, really. Like, he could say, you know, magic mirror on the wall, am I a compelling Disney villain?
Yeah.
And the mirror would say, no. And then... I mean, who knows what that would do to him?
These are all fair.
Can I rebut?
You may, Jane, yeah.
Can I rebut?
Certainly.
Yes, please.
Everything that Gabriella said was great points. It actually goes into Nathaniel's strengths, though. He's an underdog.
I wouldn't know what those are. I don't know who he is.
That's maybe why you gave me the win by saying all the things you said, because those are all his strong points. He is unconfident. He is an underdog. Those are all what make him so dangerous. Because if you can infiltrate this royal family, there's no telling what he could do. He infiltrated the royal family and he infiltrated the Dr. Facilier and his shadows. A mirror is not really going to really be able to really do much, I don't think. I mean, even if it could see it coming, how's that going to stop him? Right. Because Nathaniel, if he can get in with the royal family, he can get in with a couple of soldiers and a couple of guards. And you know what? Promise them something. Who knows? He promised everybody else a bunch of stuff that he could do. Why couldn't he promise everybody else just to work his way to the mirror? Again, everything you said is accurate. He's weak-minded. He's feeble. But he's also cunning. And he is also... very manipulative. And those are the suits that I think when you are someone that's afraid of his own shadow, which he is, I'll admit that.
Yeah.
But that's what makes him so dangerous, because he's willing to do anything to survive. He will do anything to survive. I mean, we've seen it in that movie. There's nothing that he won't do to get out of that situation with the mirror. Lie, cheat, steal, whatever he's got to do to get out of that situation and take the mirror out, he's going to do. And he's done it before. He's got a track record, a proven track record. And you know what? The evil queen is dead at one point. So is she even there to be part of it? Maybe that castle's empty nowadays.
This is like a street fight. So the evil queen, if it's not on your team, she's not there.
So she might not even be there. And let's face it, she's in this timeline. She's already gone, right? Mm. So he's by himself. He doesn't really have an army to say, guard me. He's in an empty castle. Nathaniel could really just take his time, walk up to the castle. And you know what? What's one of the reasons why Nathaniel was the way he was? He wanted power. And he did it like in a sniveling way. it's not a way that I say is a great way to get power. It wasn't a brave way to get power, but nevertheless, it worked up until then. It could definitely work here, especially if there's not a evil queen, evil hag there to stop him.
She's not there, but I would just say that she doesn't exist anymore. That's not the case. Like she's not in this fight. She's not in this fight. But if the magic mirror does have access to the evil queen's guard, I would say that could come into play. But was there ever a guard? I don't think I ever saw anything. I saw just the queen in the mirror. I mean, it might.
But then when Nathaniel goes to the queen and says, "Hey, listen, check my references. I've worked for royal families before. You don't need this mirror. I'll do whatever you need to do." He's got experience working with royal families.
Okay.
And friends on the other side. So
this is fair.
He's got that right on his resume.
You know, this is a lot more even than I thought it was going to be. But I almost feel like this is a double count out. You know, if you know you're wrestling, like, you know, Nathaniel infiltrates the castle. He asks the magic mirror, "Am I a compelling villain?" The magic mirror goes, "Nope." Nathaniel breaks the mirror and Nathaniel goes insane because nobody knows he exists and they both lose. You know, I think there is a scenario which would put us in sudden death overtime, which we'd have to make that up. But anyway, why don't we get to voting? Unless does our panel have any more questions for the matchup? Anybody? No?
No.
We're ready to vote?
No, I don't think so.
Gene's got one last thing? Point. As long as it's not the thing you've said already.
I don't got a point. I just want to say congratulations to Gabriella. This was the best matchup, I think, in the first round. I think this might have been the best matchup in both years of the Villains League. So congratulations to you, Gabriella, for being part of it.
Wow.
I'm excited. I think this is going to go down.
This is so fun.
This is going to be played on.
I think this is the best episode.
All right. These guys are feeling themselves. I like it. Okay, so let's get to the vote. Let's see who's going to win this bad boy, and let's kick things off with Sheena. Which way are we going here? Is there cruel cronies? Is it the magic mirror and its manipulations and power, or is it Nathaniel's scheming, plotting, thieving, do anything to get ahead? Who's winning this one?
Well, I think it just comes down to logistics, and we have an inanimate object versus a human. So I'm going to give the win to Nathaniel.
Wow. Nathaniel with a point, taking down the magic mirror. And let's cruise on over to Miriam. Miriam, this is a tough one. There's a mirror and there's a dude. Who's winning?
I think I also have to go with Nathaniel, which is wild because he is not a good villain at all. But I think I've always been unclear what magic the magic mirror has. Like, it seems like he only tells the queen she's not cute. Like,
yeah.
I can't figure out what else that mirror does. So I think I got to go with Nathaniel.
Well, with that, Gene, Manny, congratulations. You have won this matchup in the Disney Villains League. The greatest comeback of all time, down 2-0, roars back for a 3-2 victory. Wow, how does it feel, dude? I'm going to give you another one of these. This is it. This is incredible. What an accomplishment. And fair, I got to say, you're right. This is one of the greatest Villains League matchups we've ever had. Kudos to both the competitors. Gabriella, hilarious, amazing. Gene, how's it feel to come out on top?
I'll tell you who really won today. I didn't win. The audience won today because they got to hear the best battle in the tournament of all time. This should have been the finals. It really should have been.
Wow.
I was nervous after I was down 0-2. I really didn't think I was going to be able to pull it out. I mean, listen, when you lose to the Woozles, you start thinking maybe you should pack it in. You know what I mean?
Wow, the Woozles are pretty wild though, man.
But I'll tell you what, kudos to Gabriella, man, because phenomenal Villains League talent.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank
you. It was a lot of fun.
Quickly, Mark, which way would you have voted?
On that last one, magic mirror versus Nathaniel?
Yeah.
I would have voted for the magic mirror.
There you go.
He's fastened to the wall by magic. You know, we got a smart magic mirror versus a dumb, by Gene's own words, feeble-minded. I think that magic mirror could have talked Nathaniel into doing something real foolish, and it would have led to Nathaniel's demise.
Fair, but too little, too late. All right. Hey, Gabriella, do you want to come back and be a judge on the next one of these Villains League?
So you
can be all mean and stuff. You'll feel great. You'll be.
Yes.
Gabriella, remember, if I don't win all the way, it ruins this. So you gotta remember, if you're judging my match, don't win. It ruins what this was.
That's a good point.
Putting that out in the atmosphere.
Okay. Well, I think I can be impartial, and given what you brought today, I think it may work out that I'm able to throw some votes your way, but who knows? Who knows? I'm loyal to the We Like Theme Parks brand.
So I agree.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
Hey, I voted for Marty a few times last week, and we all know Marty and me are not simpatico.
Yeah. Well, an amazing matchup, two incredible competitors. But hey, the winner is Gene. So Gene is going to advance to the finals of the Disney blogger division, going up against Judge Miriam Kenley. Wow, an incredible matchup between Hades and Halal and Miriam's Malevolent Meanies. Incredible. What a great matchup. You got to come on back for this one. And also in our other category, we have another final. It's our Disney Comedians division, and it's going to be Nigel Downer and Dis going head to head against the Boogity Knights and Marty Adams. So those are our next two Villains League matchups, the finals of each conference, and it'll set up the craziest final of all time. So I just want to say thank you so much, everybody. What a great episode. And thank you all for tuning in today, friends. If you had a good time, you do those things, right? You rate, you subscribe, you review. Go do it right now. Come on back and listen to the last minute. It'll be worth it. Trust. If you have a segment idea, you want to say hello, hit us up. What's up at WeLikeThemeParks.com. You can always find us on Instagram at WeLikeThemeParks and on the Magic of the Mouse Radio every Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at 5, noon on Sundays. The music for the We Like Theme Parks podcast was composed and provided by Mike Treblecock. You can check him out at
MikeTreblecockMusic.com.
Yeah. A big, big thank you to everybody that joined us today. Let's start off with our amazing judge, Sheena Barton. Sheena, so great to have you. It was super fun. Where can we find you? What do you got going on?
Yeah, no, my sister and I do a podcast, and it's Body by Beignets. We drop every Friday morning. You can follow along with us also on Instagram at Body by Beignets.
Absolutely. Yeah. Check them out. They're a great show. If you are someone who's like, man, I want to be mindful about what I eat when I'm at the parks, which there's a lot of you out there. This is the podcast for you. But
let me clarify. We have also upped our ante, and we are much more adult now. We have adult beverages that we highlight every episode, and some have been labeled explicit. I will just throw that out
there. Oh, my. Wow. So it got a little boozy. I like it. What are you drinking right now, Sheena? What is that?
I have a peach Bellini.
Oh, not fancy for our show. Wow. Also, a big, big thank you to Gabriella from WDW Bathrooms. Gabriella, it's such a pleasure to have you, as always. And come on back for some more judgy fun. Yes. Where can we find you? What's up over in Toilet Town?
You can find me at WDW_bathrooms.
That's the place.
On Instagram.
On Instagram. Check her out. If you want to know what's inside those bathrooms at Disney, Gabriella has snuck in for you and taken pictures. Whether people are there or not, she's got your back. So check her out. And she just recently ranked the number one bathroom in all of Disneyland. Go check out her feed and you'll find out which one she ranked. And she knows her stuff. Her bladder is like this big. She knows what she's talking about. And finally, we want to thank Gene Manny from the Disney Underground podcast and from the FPE Network. Gene, what's going on over there? There's a ton of stuff happening, and where can everybody find you?
Yeah, you can still find me on Instagram at The Magical Lifestyle, at @the_magical_lifestyle. You can also find us now every Thursday night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on FPE Network. We're live, we're unedited, and you can still hear us on Magic of the Mouse Radio every Tuesday and Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we got a lot going on over there. And you know what? If anyone's checked out the podcast last week, they would have heard on the audio one, Gabriella had her thing on there just last week talking about some Disney toilets. So, say thank you for her for stopping by with that. and can I just say one piece of advice for Miriam for when we do battle?
Oh, yes.
One word, Miriam.
Oh, let's hear it.
Run.
The trash talk begins. Okay, well, stay tuned, friends, because Miriam and Gene will be going head-to-head in the next round. And thanks again for hanging out with us today. So for Gene, for Sheena, for Gabriella, Miriam, and Mark, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. What?
Don't Don't speak for me.
Well, I do it every... This is like the 196th time I've said... 197th time I've spoken for you.
Yeah, I just wanted to interrupt the ending.
Oh, okay. Well, congrats. You did it. Touchdown, pal. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And...
We like theme parks
and Disney villains. See you next week, friends.
Bye.
We like theme parks. The We Like Theme Parks podcast.